This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Smart Tass by Mimi Jean Pamphiloff, narrated by Lauren Sweet. Chapter 1.
Jesus, Hunter, you're a bigger piece of shit than I thought! I snap, standing in the middle of the library at Austin U, with the star quarterback kneeling in front of me, his beefy arms wrapped around my legs. What is he even asking for? Because he hasn't said, and I don't know.
I'm not leaving until you say yes, Tass, he mumbles, with his head pressed into my kneecaps.
Okay, really, his mouth is wedged between my thighs. Not cool. So I just pretend we're engaging in kneecap contact.
Come on, Tassie. It's one little yes and I'm gone.
His sky-blue eyes gaze up at me with the sincerity of a blow-up doll, while the student body chuckles and snaps off pictures. Wonderful. Let's make a historical record of this mortifying moment. Get off me, Hunt! I have to get to class!
He tightens his iron grip, biting down on a shit-eating grin.
Not until you say yes, he sings.
I have no clue what he wants, but God, I loathe jocks. I hate the way they laugh at each other's douchebag jokes. I hate how they strut around like they're God's gift to the universe herself. I hate their obsessions with cheap beer, pickup trucks, and blonde girls in short skirts. And I especially hate this guy, Hunter Johnson. A.K.A. Hunt, also referred to by himself and his followers as The Hunt, The Man, Mr. Amaze Football, and my own creation, Dickhead. Okay, mine isn't so original, but neither is the dipshit hugging my knees for no other reason than after all these years, he still hopes he'll get a rise out of me. But I wouldn't queef in Hunt's general direction to save his life. Not that I've ever queefed, or had sex. Or anything. But hey, I have my better than you scorecard. Hunt, 1, Tassie, 562. And just why is my score so high? This game has been going on for as long as I can remember, starting in preschool all the way through high school. Hunter and I were neighbors. Technically, we still are, since our parents continue living next door to each other back home. Lucky me. But imagine my delight when I learned that Hunter and I would be going to the same university, both on full scholarships. Unbelievable. I worked my entire life for straight A's. I made sacrifices, mostly to my social life and girlish figure, since studying didn't leave room for much else. Hunt, on the other hand, just threw around a ball while wearing tight pants and humping his way through the cheerleading squad. Fed up with his little game, I reach down and grab a fistful of Hunter's dark brown hair that skirts his annoyingly strong jawline. His hair is longer than he used to wear it back in high school, and it's surprisingly soft, too. I can make nice earmuffs out of it after I scalp him.
Ow, hey!
He squawks, but goes right back to locking up my legs the second I release his silky hair.
All right, I say through clenched teeth. What do you want, Hunt?
Say yes. That's all. Please, Tass.
His calloused fingers press into my bare calves underneath my floral knee-length skirt. Strangely, his hands feel satisfyingly rough.
What? No. You are not enjoying this.
Hunter's thumbs make tiny circles behind my knees, almost like he's heard my thoughts and agrees with them.
Yeah, girl. You know it.
A silent cringe tears through me.
Damn it, Hunter,
I say, doing a wiggle step, trying to keep my balance. I'd prefer not to fall over and show the world my Hello Kitty Friday underwear beneath my skirt.
Get off!
Would love to,
he laughs, wiggling his dark eyebrows.
My place or yours?
Har har, asshole,
I say.
Ouch, such words, little Tassie.
He chuckles, and his breath tickles my inner thighs. It feels oddly intimate, and I don't like it one little bit.
Now you really have to say yes.
Yes to what?
Use your words, tiny man.
Tiny refers to his brain, not his body. In the size department, he's a tall, lean, mean football machine, a complete waste of a nice male body.
I need your help.
He makes a pouty face that quickly turns into,
No! Don't you do it! I'm so not in the mood! Don't you dare use the...
Please, Tassie.
His blue eyes are super big, and the tip of his pink tongue darts out the side of his mouth. Oh, God. Not the puppy face. I refrain from cracking a smile. He first used it on me when we were 5 to wheedle a graham cracker. Over the years, he's used it to convince me to do things like lie to his parents. Yes, Hunt was with me, studying. Or to tutor him with algebra when he was failing. I never understood why I helped him, because the guy made my life a living hell. It's totally the puppy face. Case in point, it still gives me the uncontrollable urge to laugh. It's just that stupid. Hunter, I swear, you're the biggest... Trying not to smile, I notice a few of his football buddies doubled over, cracking their shit up behind a row of books. My smile vanishes like a wisp of steam over morning coffee. Fair trade, French roast, in case you're wondering what I'm imagining dumping over his head at this very moment.
You bastard, I curse under my breath. This is some sort of dare, and you're still living in high school. Well, here's a blast from the past.
I manage a small jab kick just above his knee, which creates enough space for me to land a real kick into his rib and... Ouch! My foot! Rock hard abs.
Tass! He laughs, releasing me and rolling on his side. Come on!
There is no justice in this world. Not for women like me who reject this form of juvenile henpecking, just like I reject push-up bras, oppressive dictatorships, and football. Okay, basically any sport that pays its athletes millions of dollars while people go hungry. Intelligence is the only currency that matters. And Hunter Johnson is dumbass broke. Okay. Right about now, you're probably asking yourself if I'm one of those nerdy girls who had a crush on the quarterback back in high school and got her heart decimated every time she saw him walking down the hall because he didn't actually see her. Oh, hell no. My father is a software engineer who's created 6 different algorithms to track global warming patterns. My mother is an award-winning bioengineer working on a cure for cancer. I want to be her someday. And my brother is a tech CEO and millionaire at the ripe old age of 29. Don't even get me started on my aunts, uncles, and cousins. All doctors or scientists. With my 3.99 GPA and full scholarship to a university that is not Harvard, Yale, or Princeton, I'm the black sheep of the Somerset clan. But for better or worse, that's my family. And I love them. Even if their standards are incredibly high. Either way, there is zero, and I mean zero interest in sports or men of sports on my part. Hunter especially. So exactly what is the rub between me and him? I'll have to get to that later, because right now I need to flee from this giant 6'2" turd who's determined to latch onto my crotch zone and embarrass the hell out of me. I push my glasses back up my nose and head quickly for the exit, praying that no one in my chemistry club has witnessed the altercation, but knowing the library is their turf, and the chances of this moment not coming up at tomorrow's study group are nil. Great. Just great, I mumble to myself, and throw my weight into the heavy steel door to go outside.
I just want to fuck you, Tass! I need a virgin! Hunter yells out.
A gust of hot, sticky September air flows over me as I pause mid-step in the doorway, wondering if I've actually heard his words correctly. No. The boy who beat the hell out of Kurt Lippmann in the 11th grade, defending my honor, would not sink so low. But I'm not stupid, hard of hearing, or delusional. Yep. This cave-dwelling crustacean actually said what I think, and from the roaring laughter radiating inside the library, I know everyone else heard him too.
Wow. Now I'm pissed.
I slowly turn to face my nemesis, who's standing with a gloating grin baked onto his pie hole. He thinks he's got me. He thinks I'm going to lose it right here in front of all these people. Not today, hunty baby. My self-worth doesn't come from his approval or my sexual status. I am a strong, smart woman. I take a deep breath, let it out, and return with a lifted chin and confident strides. But Hunter, did your concussion-warped mind forget? You already fucked me. You did it to me in kindergarten and every year of my life since. Ews and yucks erupt from the theater of onlookers. Yeah, I know I made it sound like he had sex with me when I was six. Nasty. And point for me, Tassie, 566. I go on, using a sweet, calm voice to twist the knife. So, now that we've established you've achieved your perverted goal, I think you should consider fucking yourself next. In that giant asshole of yours. Oh, but wait. Your shrimp dick won't reach. I make a pouty face and hold up my pinky. Poor Hunter. But at least I'm technically still a virgin because of it, which allows me to be deflowered by a real man someday. His cocky grin morphs into a flat pair of lips and twitching blue eyes. He's pissed. Another point me. I sigh contentedly. Turn and exit the library. Brains beat brawn every time. Chapter 2. Tassie, oh my god, where have you been? My new dorm roomie, Elle, nearly trips on her own 2 feet as she rushes toward me the moment I enter the bustling Kappa 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 house for the wine spritzer Scrabble-thon. Tonight is a big to-do for us pledges, because it's the last step in the process to become a member, and I've wanted to be a tri-cap since I was a little girl. My mother was a tri-cap, and so were 2 Nobel Prize winners, along with a slew of famous scientists. They are the most well-thought-of female brains in the world, and are invaluable to my future. Job recommendations, career networking, and grants. So even though my mother belonged to the Yale chapter, this is my legacy, which is why I've taken special care this evening to look like a respectable tri-cap. I have my dark hair pulled into a bun and have on sensible flats to go with my blue pantsuit. I even wore my thick-framed glasses to show everyone that I'm not afraid to fly my nerd flag high in the sky. I had some studying to do for chemistry, I tell Elle, who is a honey blonde with a huge brain that rivals the gap between her front teeth. She has an IQ that's off the charts and is the likeliest person on the planet to solve world hunger. Tonight, she's wearing a black skirt and a blouse with formulas printed all over it. Classy. We're both science geeks, but she's majoring in physics, not bioengineering. Well, Elle says, Lainey and Jessica were just asking about you. What happened in the library today? Lainey and Jessica are the tri-cap leaders, so my pulse rate soars. It's nothing, I say. Some stupid jock I knew in high school. Well, it's not nothing, Elle whispers, just as I notice the other pledges glancing at me and smirking. Everyone's saying you slept with that nauseating football guy. My jaw unhinges, knowing that this could do me in. Tri-caps don't date football players. Ever. It's a long-standing, unwritten tradition. We hate them. They hate us. Kind of silly. But that's not true, I hiss. I was only trying to embarrass him so he'd stop. Elle pulls out her phone from her over-the-shoulder purse and shows me a video clip where I'm declaring to the world that Hunter Johnson and I fucked. Oh, God. I screwed myself on this one. Deduct Tassie Point. Award to Hunter. The clanking of a spoon against a wine glass chimes through the air, silencing the group of pledges. It's Lainey, president of the Tri-Caps. She's wearing her frizzy blonde hair in a ponytail and has on a blue blouse with giant, homemade Scrabble pieces safety pinned to the front. The letters spell out G-E-N-I-U-S. Good evening, ladies, she says, as everyone, sorority sisters and pledges alike, turn to face her in the foyer that reminds me of something from Gone with the Wind with its grand staircase.
Welcome to the big night. I hope you've been reading your dictionaries because tonight is going to be prodigious.
She explains the rules for the competition. Each pledge is to drink one wine spritzer before each round of Scrabble. The pledges will play each other, one on one, until there are 10 people left, essentially cutting the group down from 40. She continues,
Now, as you know, if you're here tonight, it's because you were asked to pledge. Your GPA meets our minimum requirements, and, or, your legacy with an impressive IQ, but,
she wags her finger,
Tri-Kappas must be able to think on their feet and show they have commitment. So, let's make some words, and may the biggest brains win.
I want to roll my eyes at the whole thing, because plenty of intelligent people aren't very good at this game. However, tonight isn't really about words. It's about winning. They only want smart women who are driven and competitive.
I'm so nervous, Al says as we line up for our first dose of watery Chardonnay.
I shrug. My parents prohibited television in the house, so we played Scrabble a lot growing up.
Tassie, may we speak with you in the other room?
Elle and I turn to see Lainey in her blue Scrabble shirt, standing with her sidekick, Jessica, both staring down their noses at me. I paste on a polite smile, but the uneasy flutter in my stomach tells me this isn't good.
Sure.
With all eyes on us, Lainey gestures for me to follow her into the living room, where the blue and white striped couches are pushed against the wall and small Scrabble stations are set up on TV dinner trays. We go into the corner near a fake tree with pictures of the tri-caps pinned to the leaves.
Tassie, we're afraid we have to ask you to remove yourself from the running.
Lainey flips her blonde ponytail over her shoulder and crosses her scrawny arms. Jessica, the sorority VP and her evil twin, only brunette and shorter, follow suit. My heart makes a sad wave action.
Do you mind sharing why?
My brain is finding it difficult to come up with a valid reason. I've passed every fledge task with flying colors this last week. Not that it even matters, because I'm legacy.
We hold ourselves to a high standard, Tass, and given what we've seen, you're simply not Tri-Kappa material. But I'm sure the Gamma News will take you.
Gamma News? That's the cheerleader sorority. Their only requirements to get in are to be pretty and pretty horny for football players.
This can't be happening.
I don't know what you've heard, I say, but I promise I have no interest in the Gammas or their meathead boyfriends.
That's not what we saw in the library. We were there.
Jessica sings like a question, so it sounds like she's really saying, dumbass.
Okay, wait. That thing today was just some immature practical joke.
Looked like you were enjoying it, Lainey adds.
Enjoying it? I don't think so. Actually, I take that back. I did enjoy it. I like sticking up for myself and not letting some gorilla in a human suit think he can humiliate me in public.
Then what was with all that smiling and blushing?
She says, her voice filled with pomposity.
Well, he and I...
I stammer, wanting to make sure I explain this correctly.
We grew up next door to each other, but I assure you, Hunter Johnson has been the bane of my existence since I was 6. I hate the guy.
Yes, there were moments when he didn't behave like a complete asshole, but mostly he just tormented me. The torture ranged from egging my window once a month and TPing my house. Hunt always denied involvement, of course, but I knew. To calling me names and throwing half-eaten sandwiches at our geek table during lunch. And I really couldn't count how many times one of his cheerleader girlfriends snubbed me in the locker room because my body isn't worthy of Playboy magazine.
You hate him? Really now?
Jessica asks with a smirk.
Yes. Hate. The guy is so stupid, he can't even tie his shoe without looking it up on YouTube first.
That's not exactly true, but this moment calls for hyperbole.
I wait for Lainey and Jessica to see the light, but they simply stand there, staring with disapproval scrabbled on their faces. Damn it, Hunt. I can't allow him to rob me of this. My mother was a tricap, I say, hoping to salvage this situation. My aunt was a tricap. Every woman in my family has a PhD and an IQ over 140. Do you really think I'm going to waste my time on a dumb jock who can't satisfy me in any way? Because they can't begin to imagine the pressure I'm under to make something of myself, and that includes picking a guy my entire family will approve of. I've never found anyone remotely qualified, and I won't make the mistake of bringing someone home who isn't one of us. My older brother made that mistake once. Just once. The girl broke up with him the next day because she said we'd intentionally marginalized her with our dinner conversation regarding gene mutation. We didn't do it on purpose. That's just the sort of stuff my family likes to talk about. Fitting in isn't easy. Not even for me. Jessica shrugs. Some girls are suckers for big muscles. Now I cross my arms. They're being ridiculous to a point where I'm questioning wanting to be a tricap, because a part of me, the grown-up part, can't help but shake my head at the immaturity of this conversation. It shouldn't matter who I date. I mean, weren't we all about empowering women and using our collective brain power for the betterment of humanity? So to place a value on a woman based on the perceived quality of her man seems astoundingly backwards. Not that Hunter is my man. I shudder at the thought. I open my mouth to give these two elitist snobs a piece of my mind, but then I remember that I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing it because it's expected of me. I'm a Somerset. Plus, there'd be the whole humiliation thing if I had to tell my parents I wasn't accepted into the tri-caps. Legacies are practically given a free pass during rush week. All I need to do is win tonight's contest, something I've been training for since I could spell W-I-N-N-I-N-G. Please, I say, opting for a bit of groveling, which feels extremely painful. Is there anything I can say to convince you to let me stay? Lainey's brown eyes are void of sympathy. I'm sorry, Tass, but the Alphas nearly burned down our house last year in one of their many stupid pranks. The Alpha Phis are the football fraternity that our lovely Hunter is very likely pledging, and they are the sworn enemies of the Tricaps. As I've already stated, Greek rivalries are completely ridiculous, but they are also considered a time-honored tradition. And there was the break-in last night, Jessica adds, nudging Lainey. Someone stole all of our calculators while we were out collecting trash for Save Our Parks Day. I hold back a laugh. The Alphas stole your calculators? We don't know for sure, but who else? Lainey says. I can just see those ridiculous jocks getting hammered and coming up with the bright idea. Hey dudes, let's go break into the tricap house. Yeah, and steal their calculators. Hur, hur, hur. Nerds won't know what hit them. Idiots. They're too stupid to live. So, you see, Lainey says, we can't have our good reputation soiled by allowing that human trash to publicly humiliate one of our sisters simply because she has a jock hang-up, or fetish, or poor judgment, whatever you call that despicable display of neediness we witnessed this morning. Wait. How can you possibly interpret what happened in the library as me being needy? Like I said, we were there. Lainey shrugs. We saw everything, including how much you loved that silly little banter you had going on. That's because it's all she'll ever get from a guy like that, Jessica whispers loud enough for me to hear. It really was nauseating how much she wanted him, Lainey says to Jessica, as if I'm not even there. My mouth gapes open. The only thing I wanted was to kick him in his footballs. I can't believe this. Hunter picks on me, and I get blamed for wanting him. My gaze shuffles between Lainey and Jessica. This situation has reached maximum ridiculousness, and I'm feeling genuinely upset. Dare I say, outraged. They're so blinded by their hate for these Alpha guys that they're blowing up this morning's incident into a crazy witch hunt. The worst part being, Then I've just been demoted to lovesick, nerdy puppy who'll take a beating merely to please Mr. Football. I am not some pathetic little thing who follows around the football captain from her old high school, letting him use her as his personal fun-time urinal cake. Great. Now I'm not making any sense either. I have way better taste than men. The two stare with cocked eyebrows, as if to say, sorry, not buying it. Wow. I place my hands on my hips. Now the only thing I want is to prove how incredibly wrong and stupid these two are. Yes, my pride has been triggered, and I can't help but want to defend my honor and intelligence. Yes, I realize it's a sore spot for me, but everyone has them. Everyone. And mine is this. Being called stupid, directly or indirectly. You think I can't get a dumb guy like Hunter Johnson if I wanted? His only requirement is that you know how to giggle and you tell him how big his arms are. About to speak, Lainey shakes her head. I know she's going to show me the door. Fine, I'll prove it, I say, cutting her off before she has a chance to end it, before I've achieved vindication. And no, for the record, I will not be joining this fascist sorority. An image of my frowning mother slaps me across the face. She's shaking her head of short brown hair, refusing to say a word as I break the news. I mean, not a week goes by without someone in my family, cousins, aunts, and uncles included, announcing a mind-blowing achievement to share. I was nominated for a Pulitzer for my work on irrigation. NASA wants to know if I'll consider heading up their new project on thermodynamic rocket propulsion. Then there's me. I couldn't get into a sorority because my neighbor made fun of me in the library. Ugh. I have to get into the tri-caps. Prove it. Lainey laughs. How? 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 I'll show you how easy it is to get a guy like him. Then I'll make him endure public humiliation. Lainey and Jessica are no longer smiling as the room fills with pretty, preppy women awaiting further instructions, staring expectantly in our direction. Lainey cracks a sadistic smile. You can stay, Taz. What? No, kick her out, whines Jessica. She's a scummy alpha slut. Lainey holds up her hand to silence her minion. She may play tonight. Lainey looks at me, glaring harshly. If you survive the Scrabble-thon, you will get 1 week to show us we're wrong about you. But I want to see that alpha boy groveling at your feet. We want to see him publicly decimated. Got it? I swallow down the lump of doubt gathering in my throat. I can do this, right? I mean, all I need to do is dress like I have an IQ of a baked potato and pretend my self-esteem is hinged upon getting a man's approval. How hard can that be? As for Hunt, I've endured 13 years of his inane bullcrap. He's made my life a living hell. It wouldn't be completely unreasonable to teach him a lesson, one that's long overdue. I look up at Lainey. I can practically taste victory already. Got it. She gives me the nod. Off you go, then. Table 5. Let the games begin. Chapter 3. You're not really going to do this, are you? Elle asks the next evening, eyeing me over her history book, her back propped up against her headboard. I swivel in the full-length mirror glued to the closet door on my side of the world's dreariest dorm room. Gray carpets, white walls, brown furniture, that we've attempted to spruce up with a pink shag rug and a poster of Einstein wearing a tiara. I have purple floral-themed bedding, and Elle has all orange. Yes, we love our girly things, despite what people say. Honestly, I think it's the number one stereotype I hear. Smart girls are not feminine. That we don't like girly things, or wear makeup, or skirts, or watch romantic movies. Not true. Some do, some don't. Everyone's different. But it's never made sense to me that just because you dream of giving cold fusion to the masses, or want to be the queen of terraforming on Mars, that you're instantly not a woman or can't be sexy. Pig soap. I completely embrace my femininity, and hope to work with my mother on her cure for cancer. That,
or a cure for jockism. There's probably a recessive caveman gene responsible for the unique combination of narcissism, dim wits, and large biceps. Yes, I am doing this, I say to Elle, checking out my pale legs. Do you think I should get a spray tan tomorrow? It's too late to take any action tonight, because the party at the Alpha House started at 7. It's already 8, and I want to be sure to get there before Hunt's locked and loaded his hookup for the evening. You can't be serious. Well, I'm not risking skin cancer simply to impress a guy. I hike up my black skirt so it hits mid-thigh. I think I need something shorter that screams, I'm easy. No, I mean this stupid bet with Lainey and Jessica. Elle sets her book in her lap, her brown eyes frowning in a way that reminds me of my mother. Why not? I passed the Scrabble test. Can you say Q-U-I-X-O-T-R-Y for 365 points? And they insulted my intelligence. Not to mention, I'm not allowing that meathead to ruin yet another stage of my life. Don't you think this is a little extreme? Absolutely, but sometimes a girl's just gotta take a stand. And for this girl, it was about bleeding time. What's the story with you and this guy anyway? I really don't want to talk about it. I hate thinking about Hunter, because once I start, I can't stop. There's too much baggage there. She shrugs and props up her book on her lap. I can tell by her flat lips she's disappointed that I won't share. I also know she doesn't have many friends back home in her small town, and she's a genuinely nice person. We actually requested each other as roommates through the online roomie finder. It helps match like-minded people so you don't end up with a person who's only into screwing and beer pong when you're trying to graduate with honors. Elle and I hit it off right away during our phone interview. She reminds me of Rachel, my best friend back home in the Woodlands, a suburb of Houston. Rachel got into Harvard. Yes, I am jealous, but more than anything, I miss her. Which is why you need to make new friends. I sigh, walk over to my bed across from Elle's, and take a seat. Hunter Johnson is my neighbor who picked on me since the first day of school. He's partly to blame for my less-than-perfect GPA. Elle lowers her book again. What did he do? I fold my hands neatly in my lap. This is difficult to talk about because I'd promised myself that I would leave the past behind. Coming here to Austin U was supposed to be my fresh start. I clear my throat. The short version is that we played together when we were little. Our mothers both worked, and our fathers did too, so Hunter and I went to the same daycare. Our parents helped each other out with carpooling and stuff. But then kindergarten started, and so did his utter hate for me, the uncool, nerdy girl. Elle's round face crinkles up as if she were about to get a shot in the arm or something equally unpleasant. I don't know if I want to hear this. Sounds too close to home. I can't lie. It was pretty painful. That first day of kindergarten, my mom dropped us off. Hunter had on his Iron Man shirt, and I clung to my Harry Potter lunch pail. We walked in together, and I'd felt comforted having my best friend by my side in this new place. I remember standing there, taking in the big room with desks clustered together and lots of strange faces. Hunter simply walked up to a boy and jerked his head, as if to say, "Hey, what's up?" Then they began playing. As for me, I was too shy to simply walk up to the other girls, who looked so pretty with their flashy barrettes and expensive shoes. I'd worn a plain tee, jeans, and sneakers. No frills. My mother didn't believe in all that, which could be the reason I like clothes so much as an adult. In any case, I felt more comfortable with Hunter, my friend, so I tried to join in on an awesome game of Lego car racing. Hunter took one look at me and said, "You can't play. You're a stupid girl." I don't think I will ever forget the sting of his rejection, being shoved aside by someone I thought cared about me. But life went on. I made a few new friends, geeky like me, and Hunter and I still carpooled together since it was easiest for our moms. He kept to himself, playing with whatever portable video game thing his parents had bought him, me reading whatever book I was trying to master in the magic treehouse realm. When we'd get to school, Hunt would always make sure to say something mean to me in front of his friends, so everyone knew that while we rode in together, we were not friends.
Eventually, my mom caught on that Hunter and I were not getting along, as she put it to his mom, who refused to discipline him or teach him manners. Years later, I'd come to realize that the poor lady was terribly shy and rarely spoke up to anyone, including her bossy, rude husband, who worked in construction. Anyway, the rest of Hunt's and my relationship was a blur. He followed his path, like a jock moth flying toward the glorious jock light in search of fame, pussy, and glory. I followed my own path, working my butt off at school. When our paths crossed, almost daily, I was an object of ridicule. He would poke fun at my curly brown hair or make fun of my flat chest or math club t-shirts.
"Hey, Tassie, looking fine in that little boy body. Just when exactly are you going to hit puberty? My friends and I need to know, 'cause we've got a bet going."
Asshat. I ignored him, of course, but it did little to deter the douchebag. I really think he got off on it. But the strange thing was, during all those years, he never allowed anyone else to say a single word to me. Not one. If any of his stupid bros opened their mouths, they'd quickly receive the international bro sign of shut the hell up, a punch in the arm. Hunter would then add a,
"Back off. Tassie is my nerd."
Like he owned me in some strange version of reality that only existed in his head. So twisted. Then there was the day in the 11th grade when Kurt Lippmann grabbed my ass in the hallway between classes. I yelled at the guy, told him he was a feckless dick, and gave him a push. So many people were watching that I think he felt compelled to put me in my place, especially since he probably didn't know the meaning of feckless, so he slapped me. I wasn't having it. I went right after him with flying fists that did absolutely nothing except amuse the onlookers. Kurt and I were dragged apart and ended up in the principal's office. I got suspended for a day, for fighting and swearing. He got a full week. Justice had not been served in my mind. And, as it turned out, it hadn't been served in Hunter's mind either. He beat the crap out of Kurt the next week after school. Black eye, cut lip, the works. No, Kurt didn't tattle. But I knew. Why else would Kurt have come up to me at lunch, stared at his shoes, and said,
"I'm really sorry, Tassie. It won't ever happen again."
I remember looking across the lunchroom, where Hunter sat taller than the rest in his letterman's jacket, with his group of football cronies. His sky-blue eyes crackled with anger, almost like he was displeased for having to defend me. Okay, what the hell? His actions left me feeling, well, I didn't know. Angry. Confused. I mean, I didn't need him sticking up for me. But the question begged, why would he? He lived to make me suffer. That night, I went over to his house, and he answered the door in one of those tight tees he loved so much, likely because they showed off his bulging biceps and chest. "Can we talk? Outside," I added. Those sharp blue eyes, framed by a curtain of dark lashes, flashed a hard look.
"What do you want, Tassie?"
I lifted a brow, stepped off his porch, and went to wait for him on his front lawn with my arms crossed. It was almost 9 o'clock at night and dark out, but he was still likely worried about being seen with me, so I added, "I'm not leaving until we talk." Hunter's broad shoulders rose steadily and then fell with an impatient breath. He stepped out, closed the front door behind him, and walked over.
"What?"
he said, all hostile. "What the hell was that with Kurt?" He shrugged.
"What?"
"I know it was you."
"I don't know what you're talking about, Tassie."
He flashed a cocky grin, like he was prouder than hell to have gotten away with it. "Fine, play that game. But I don't need you defending me, and I don't need you interfering in my life. In fact, isn't it about time you just leave me the hell alone?" He chuckled.
"We both know you'd miss me."
My jaw dropped. What is the matter with him? Do you have any idea what you're doing to me? He stepped in so close, I could feel the heat radiating off his tall frame.
"No. What am I doing to you?"
he said, with his deep voice that always provoked a reaction in my stomach. The truth is that I loved the way it sounded, which completely infuriated me. Being only 5'5", I had to crane back my neck to see his face and make sure he saw mine.
"This isn't funny, Hunter. You're fucking up my life."
He jerked his head back as if shocked by that.
"You're serious. You really want me to stop?"
"Yes! An emphatic, astounding yes!"
One would think after saying, "Leave me alone," 500 times, as I'd done over the years, he'd get the picture. A long moment passed, him staring into my eyes, the porch light illuminating half his stupidly chiseled face, before he leaned down to whisper in my ear.
"Sorry, but you're my nerd, Tassie."
I felt the heat of his breath on my ear, and it gave me goosebumps, though I was fairly sure they were the revolted kind.
"I'm not your anything, Hunt."
I turned to leave, but he caught my wrist and snapped me back. I sort of squeaked, yelped as my body slammed into him.
"Hey!"
Hunter suddenly wrapped his big arms around me and, well, he gave me a hug. A big old bear hug. "What the hell?" I stood with my body frozen like a block of ice. His large body felt warm and hard against mine, and he smelled really nice.
"Sorry that fucker hit you, Tassie,"
he said softly. A million different things charged through my mind, but mostly I thought I'd bonked my head, or an alternate universe had jumped out of the ground and sucked me in, because Hunter Johnson went out of his cold-hearted way to single me out and humiliate me almost daily. And now he had his arms wrapped around my body, being all protective and affectionate? No. Nuh-uh. Something's not right. I pushed him away.
"Where do you get off?"
I searched for the right words.
"Not with you, that's for sure,"
he said with a snide little laugh. My mouth fell open. He's screwing with me. That's what this is. Just another demented mind game.
"Just fucking leave me alone,"
I spat, and marched off toward my house.
"I mean it!"
"Not a chance, Tassie," he yelled. "I'd miss your dirty little nerd mouth too much."
And he'd meant it, too. After that, Hunter made sure to stop by my locker at least once a day, usually a drive-by to say something stupid like,
"Looking mighty fine in those really big glasses, Tass,"
or his all-time favorite,
"Say it. Who's your favorite jock, my little nerd princess?"
To which I'd reply, "You're not my favorite anything. You're just an asshole."
"You know you love me."
"Like a crusty rash," I'd say.
"You don't get rashes. You belong to the awesome NBMs, remember?"
Yeah, he liked throwing that one at me a lot. The not-before-marriage group was my way of embracing my nerdiness. I wanted girls to see it was okay to wait. Sadly, there were only 5 in our group, and one was a guy, Jeremy Flynn, who followed me around like a puppy until graduation day. Nice guy. Bad B.O. Rachel, my best friend, was also part of the club. Anyway, the daily banter between Hunter and me seemed to be the highlight of his pathetic, self-centered life, until our senior year. He'd been away all summer at some stupid football camp, and when he returned, he'd changed. He stopped talking to me, teasing me, or looking at me. He didn't even beg for the occasional math help or alibi. He seemed colder and distant. It was a little strange, but it was the best year of my life. College was ahead of me. High school would soon be behind me. The future was bright. Until now. Hunter is ruining my life again. "So?" Al prods from her bed, the history book clutched to her chest. "Are you going to tell me what this football guy did to you?" I look at my hands folded neatly in my lap, and then back at her. I suddenly have zero desire to rehash the past. "Nah, forget it." I stand up. "It's no big deal. We just weren't friends, that's all."
"Oh."
She nods skeptically. "So, you feel like going to an alpha party tonight?" I ask teasingly. Elle's brown eyes bug open. Yeah, no.
I have a brain, and those aren't welcome in the Alpha House.
Point taken. How about loaning me a really slutty dress?
She laughs. Either you're insane or you have gargantuan gonads, which, in either case, means you shouldn't be let out of this room.
It's gonads, I say with a straight face. I've been meaning to tell you, but I haven't been able to find the right time.
I point to my crotch and then pretend I'm grabbing two round objects.
They're hairy. I mean, really hairy. It's gross.
Oh my God, Tess, she says, shaking her head. You're such a smartass.
So I've been told.
The question is, can I be a sexy ass and seduce Hunter Johnson to win this bet? Chapter 4. Yes, I am insane. As I approach the Alpha House busting at the seams with partygoers and loud music, the reality of what I'm about to do hits me over the head like a lead balloon. A. I am alone and going to a frat party. Hunter's frat party. B. I am planning to catch Hunter with my womanly wiles to prove a point, though with my glorious brain I can get any man I want, including the one Lainey and Jessica think I can't have, but need. Yeah, because I'm so needy and all horny for those genius football players. So stupid. I hate those two chicks. Why the hell am I even here? I stop on the sidewalk just across the street from the two-story wood-framed house with a large porch and black shutters. My heart is pounding a million beats per second, but not because I'm afraid of going inside alone. I'm afraid of failing. It's always about that with me, likely due to growing up with so many high achievers. I'd rather look like a jackass and win than fail and look like a loser. Failing means you aren't smart enough to figure out the right answer. No, 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 that's not right, I correct myself. Failing is an essential element on the road to success. Even in the lab, the failure of an experiment is equally as important as its success because it eliminates variables. Yes, that's right. Tonight is like any other science project. I must not be nervous. I have set out with a hypothesis that dressing very sexy will attract a shallow man like Hunter, who I will thus refer to as evil lab rat that only thinks with his penis. My clothing will tell evil lab rat that he and I are the same shallow species of creatures who only wish to fornicate. Actually, since I'm here, I really should test out multiple variables. I make a mental note of each test I will perform tonight, the goal being to determine which will prove more effective in getting Hunter, oops, evil lab rat, to pursue the cheese. Experiment number 1. Appearance. I am wearing a short black skirt, that I folded at the waist to make shorter, black heels, the only heels I own, and a low-cut red tank top, that I usually wear underneath a blouse. I've straightened my curly brown hair so it's as long as possible, and have applied an obscene amount of makeup. My second hypothesis is that giggling and acting as if my brain is as useless as a paperclip will make Lab Rat feel smarter, and therefore will make him feel good. He will want to spend more time with me. Experiment number 2. Laugh at all his jokes and do not say anything remotely intelligent. My third hypothesis is that the lab rat is a complete narcissist and requires flattery on a regular basis for nourishment. Experiment number 3. Tell lab rat how big his muscles are. I take a moment to rehash my hypotheses, making sure I haven't missed anything. I haven't. My project is as simple as my subject. I pull my mirror from my small over-the-shoulder purse, check my garish makeup, red lips, smoky eyeshadow, and a pound of mascara. Without my glasses, I look the part. No brains, just a nice college girl out for a dirty night of fun and hookups. Let the experiment begin. Right away, I decide that frat houses are gross. So is weed. It smells like skunk flatulence after the skunk has consumed a bad burrito. Surprisingly, however,
The noxious potpourri fits the decor of this giant man-child dwelling. The living room, where I enter, has a pool table and is filled with crappy lawn furniture and a kiddie pool containing ice and beer. On the walls, posters of football players are graffitied with intellectual gems such as pussy or big loser pussy. I assume these are people from the AU rival football team. As I weave my way through the crowd, who's laughing and dancing and holding red cups or beer bottles, the hip-hop music hammers away in the background. Ech, what noise pollution. I much prefer thought-provoking songs made with actual instruments in there somewhere, like Ed Sheeran. Also, screaming profanity is only acceptable when I do it, and I only do it because it used to make me feel normal. Normaler. Now I only do it because I feel it more accurately expresses my emotion. This is another misnomer I frequently see in movies or hear people say about highly intelligent people, that we are robotic or Spock-like, or that we all speak like Cambridge professors from the 1800s. Not necessarily untrue. Some of the smartest people I've met, triple doctorate colleagues of my mother and father, for example, are some of the most laid-back, slang-slinging, sloppy hipsters on the planet. Just looking at them, you'd think they worked at the local coffee house or smoked weed all day in their campers, but that's because they feel no need to impress others with their genius. They're too good for energy-sucking pretenses, because life is all about their work. Everything else can suck it. The point is, the old days of robot nerd are long gone, so I never judge a book by its cover or use of F-bombs. Though, I do judge people who insist on making fart jokes, a minus, or wearing irreverent Game of Thrones I Break for Dragons t-shirts, a plus. That's fair game. I smile politely at the people as I bump my way through the crowd and snag an empty red cup to look more the part of party girl, although no one seems to notice me. This is good. I'm blending right in with all the perky blondes in short skirts, gammonoos, and muscle heads.
"Hey there, what's your name?"
says a deep voice, just as a big body blocks my way to the kitchen. Slowly, my eyes move up this tree trunk. I'm talking great oak, sequoia redwood. He can't weigh less than 270. With his height and size, he'd make a ripped guy like Hunter seem more like an anemic string bean. I swallow down the dry glob in my throat. Hi there.
You gammonoo, baby, 'cause I'd like to knew you.
I crinkle my nose at his pathetic attempt at wit. I'm about to tell him he should stick to football, because speaking isn't going to get him far in life, when my real objective taps my shoulder. Snag Hunter. Now, this guy isn't Hunter, but more rats equals more data. Experiment number one is successful. Slutty look has done the job. Move to number two. Laugh at his jokes, and do not say anything remotely intelligent. I throw back my head and laugh. You're cute. I poke his chest. What's your name?
Henry.
Hee-hee-hee. I chuckle awkwardly. Henry, like as in the second or the eighth? Uh-oh. Was that nerdy? I think it was, since it requires some knowledge of history. His smile drops.
What's the difference?
Yep. I botched it. I have to say something stupid to cover my error, so I go with, one was a land whore and the other a man whore. Which are you? I giggle in an attempt to flirt and show him how ignorant I am. Henry's brow lifts.
Exactly how high are you?
What? My jaw drops. I am not stone-
Tassie!
A deep voice booms from behind me. I know that voice. It's the reason I'm here. I pull back on my urge to panic and put on my game face. Slowly, I turn in my very high heels, with one hand on my hip, and jerk my head. Hey there, Hunt! What's up? I immediately notice he's wearing a light blue t-shirt that makes his eyes stand out. His shorts, some cargo things, aren't anything special, but his legs are.
Wow,
He could crack coconuts with those calves. Hunter's intense eyes make a slow journey south before heading back north to my face. I wait for a positive reaction of some sort, but only get a snarl. A very disappointing result.
What are you doing here, Tass?
It's rush week. Just out for a little fun. I shrug and bat my eyelashes, refusing to give up. His nostrils flare.
You? Fun?
Why else would I be here? Experiment number 3. Muscle flattery. Wow. I step closer and reach for a big bicep. Have your muscles gotten bigger? He jerks his arm from my grip.
What are you doing, Tass?
Me? I say innocently and point to myself, ensuring my index finger lands smack dab in the center of my cleavage. Hunter takes the bait and looks at my womanly hilltops, really more like speed bumps, and then makes a harumph.
Outside. Now.
He grabs me by the arm. I giggle stupidly, trying to maintain my cover in front of the onlookers. Sure, Hunt. He shakes his head and drags me through the hallway, into the kitchen and out to the back porch, where he pulls me aside, out of earshot from the pack of smokers.
Tass, what the fuck is this?
I don't know what you mean, I say, with a giggly voice that's slightly higher than my own. His hands wave up and down my body.
This? And stop giggling. You sound like a stoned chipmunk.
Silly. Chipmunks don't get high. I giggle again and then poke my cheek in deep, deep airhead contemplation. Or do they? Hunter shakes his head, and his dark hair falls over his eyes. I sort of want to reach out and fix it. I mean, the guy's hair is soft, but I keep my hands to my sides.
Wow. You never change, Tass. Still playing dumb.
Still? To my knowledge, this is a completely new approach to life.
Okay, Alvin, he says with a long breath. If you really want to play games, be my guest.
I'm not entirely sure what he's talking about, so I simply chalk it up to his testosterone-saturated mind. For the record, I'd be Simon, not Alvin. No, the glasses. I point to my face, and Hunter raises 2 dark brows. Idiot me. Glasses that I normally wear, but are not tonight because I have in contacts, which I'm fully aware of because I put them in. He continues staring with an expression ranging between utter disgust and irritation, which is clearly not the desired outcome given my goal of wanting to seduce him. For the sake of my future, of course. Because it would be silly to want him for real just because he's all built and big and has that deep voice. A warm shiver ripples down my spine. What? No, not going there. Shivers mean nothing. Look, Hunter baby, I say in a sugary sweet voice, determined to get back on track. I'm just a college girl, free from parental restrictions for the first time in her life, looking to have some fun. I bat my eyelashes. Because fun is awesome, and I need me some fun. God, I sound so ridiculous.
Fun. Right. Just make sure you tell the Tri-Caps that sending a spy here will only provoke a retaliation from the guys.
I huff. Tri-Caps? They don't have anything to do with me being here.
Have fun at the party, Tassie.
He heads inside, leaving me on the porch. Dang, that went like crap. But I'm not giving up. I've come here on a mission, and as I've already said, I would rather make a jackass out of myself and win than go home a loser. So if my hypothesis on how to attract my evil lab rat is incorrect, then I must go back inside and observe the animal in its natural habitat so I can formulate a new plan. Plus, I've never been to a real party, so I'm pretty curious to see what happens. Do people really swing from chandeliers, drink from beer bongs, and have sex in closets? I shrug to myself and return inside with my mental pencil sharpened, ready to take notes. I will win this challenge, and I will make Lainey and Jessica eat their words. Chapter 5. So, how'd it go last night? Elle says as she comes into our room, where I've been since 8 this morning, trying to decipher last night's data. I take a sip of coffee that I've prepared in the microwave by boiling water in a glass measuring cup and then carefully pouring it into my Melitta filtering system. I cannot compromise when it comes to my vices, and good coffee feeds my dark side. After all, I have no sex life because school is my boyfriend and science is my lover. They are demanding.